found people also that there are these questions that arise concerning the scriptures and the things of the scriptures, and some people have lost their faith because they find that some of these things are very difficult to reconcile what is in the scriptures and the worldview that they find or they want to ascribe or follow. So I don't know if people know that many atheists are previous Christians. A huge percentage of the atheists are people who have previously been in the church. And usually they find when things are not connecting in the scriptures, or they are finding here and there, and their faith is shipwrecked. Is not met. Many times you have these questions and people becoming offended at God and consequently abandoning their faith. So these meetings, we desire to do a few things. Really, at every other meeting we do openly, like a feast of light and all the other things that God will give us grace and opportunity to hold, whereby we open it up and invite people from different churches, assemblies. We are not intimidated. We are not trying to look down on anyone. We really are just here for every Bible believing Christian. We desire that they may see. So thank you very much. And that's really something I want us, those many who are visiting with us on this particular platform, to know. And that's why you can invite anyone. There's no point for us to brag. We believe that whatever we have, we have been granted by grace. And we have a role there to help other believers, you know, to come to the same light and continue in Jesus' name. Yeah. The hardening of Pharaoh's heart. The hardening of Pharaoh's heart. I'm going to speak about this today. And then I'm also going to touch a little bit on the plagues in Egypt. The plagues before the rescue of the children of Israel. So we're gonna deal with that this night, and then if we have any questions at the end of the day, I'll be glad to answer those I can give a response here. What I cannot answer, I'll tell you right away. So let's look at the hardened Pharaoh's heart. Now, why? What's the big deal with that? If anybody has studied these plagues of Egypt, you will find a scenario where Pharaoh's heart was hardened. But that is not perhaps the area where it's a contention. You know, in some instances, it mentions that Pharaoh hardened his heart. In other instances, it mentions that Pharaoh's heart was hardened, or God hardened Pharaoh's heart. So we usually find these difficulties. God hardened Pharaoh's heart. Why then is Pharaoh being judged if God actually is one of them? So allow me to pick up from Exodus chapter 7. I would encourage you to have the Bible close to you. Just keep that Exodus 7 area up to 10 open, up to 15, and we'll just keep working in there to see what we have. So just go with me to Exodus chapter 7 if you have your study materials with you. Exodus chapter 7. I'm going to first of all read from verse 3 up to verse 5. It says, "But I'll harden Pharaoh's heart, and though I multiply my signs and wonders in the land of Egypt, Pharaoh will not listen to you." This is God telling Moses. "Then I'll lay my hand on Egypt and bring my hosts, my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great acts of judgment." Then verse 5 says, "The Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I stretch out my hand against Egypt and bring out the people of Israel among them." Now I want you to notice something perhaps you might have missed. In that verse 3, he says, "I'll multiply my signs and wonders in the land of Egypt." So before we look at Pharaoh hardening his heart, let's first of all recognize this particular part. God does not say that he's bringing plagues onto Egypt. Rather, he announces he's going to do signs and wonders. Now, the traditional view is to look at what we call the 10 as 10 plagues. But in Exodus 7, when God is sending Moses, he actually calls them 7 signs and wonders. Now, the advantage of looking at them as signs and wonders, as opposed to plagues, is that when I consider them as signs and wonders, I'm going to be much more in tune to see their purpose. Which purpose was to demonstrate God's identity as opposed to causing harm? Because if you look at 7 plagues, my mind is going to tune to a vindictive God who's trying to bring judgment to Egypt. But if I first see them as signs and wonders, then these signs and wonders are intended to point to something, because that's the Hebrew meaning of the word sign, is that which points to something. Okay? So these signs and wonders were to demonstrate Yahweh's identity. In fact, if you notice very carefully the progression of the plagues, sorry, what we call plagues, but the progression of those signs and wonders, they begin by being not harmful to people, and then it's towards the end that perhaps you see a harm coming to people. So in essence, if I could even right from the onset say, had Pharaoh changed his mind after the first plague, nobody in Egypt would have been harmed. Okay? Because even the first plague or the first sign and wonders never involved any harm to people. So just have that at the back of our mind. So the purpose of hardening of Pharaoh's heart was so that God would demonstrate his signs and wonders. So when the judgment comes on Egypt, judgment is coming because Pharaoh is not listening, or is not going to listen to what God has to say, or the fact that Pharaoh's heart is hardened, or the fact that Pharaoh has refused to comply with Yahweh's demands. The signs are meant to show Egypt that Yahweh is Lord. Yahweh is superior to all the gods of Egypt. You know what is interesting? I think about two or so Q&As back, I explained something to do with the gods of the world versus Yahweh, who is the god of Egypt. Now, the Egyptians did not know or recognize Yahweh as Lord or God, but they had other gods. Now, at that time in Egypt, in fact, Pharaoh is considered as the son of Re, the son of God. Okay? And he is like the image of the God of Egypt on the earth. So Pharaoh was actually considered as a god himself in Egypt. Okay? So the plagues, what we call the plagues tradition, or you can see the signs and wonders, were to demonstrate that Yahweh is the Lord, God of gods. Can you just go to Exodus 15 and just read you something? Now, Exodus 15 is Moses' song. Moses' song in Exodus 15 is sung after they have been rescued through the waters and the Egyptians have died in the sea. If you pick it up in the 11th verse, it says, let me just start from 10 to a very little bit of context. Exodus 15 verse 10. You blew with your wind, the sea covered them. They sank like lead in the mighty waters. Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you? Majestic in holiness, awesome and glorious deeds doing. So it was a show also that Yahweh is Lord over God. And I'm going to explain a little bit how that comes into the picture. So the stubbornness of Pharaoh's heart is going to provide this particular opportunity, as again we're reading from Exodus chapter 7, for God to display his mighty wonders. Okay? So at that point, it's not difficult to put together. Again, the issue comes in that if Yahweh hardens Pharaoh's heart, why then does Pharaoh have to be judged? It's as though God made him to be hard. Why is an unjust, why is God now judging him? Because Pharaoh had no choice. And in fact, some people even go and they have read this from Romans, again, without understanding it from the origin. And they have quoted all these cases that God caused Pharaoh to be hard so that God would judge him. Now, if we go back to Exodus, we have to first think about it critically like this. When you look at the phrase used or the word used hardening in the English translation, it is translated as hardening. All those different scenarios in Exodus, quite a number of them, especially around the 10 signs or plagues, whatever you may call them. In the English, it is translated hardening, but in the Hebrew, you have three different words. Three different words that are associated with hardening. The first word is hasheh in the Hebrew. Hasheh. Hasheh is H-A-S-H-E, H-A-S-H-E. Hasheh means to be hard, or to be firm. Hard or firm. Then the second word used in those scenarios is hazak. Hazak. H-A-Z-A-K. H-A-Z-A-K. Hazak means strong or resolute. It means strong or resolute. Then the final word, which translates as hard, is kaved. Kaved. Kaved is K-A-V-E-D. Kaved means heavy. So you have three different Hebrew words that are all translated or related to hardening. First one is hashe, means hard or firm. Then you have hazak, which means strong or resolute. Then you have kaved, which means heavy. Heavy. Now, those words are used in different scenarios. But all those three are used in relationship to the hardening of Pharaoh's heart. When you're reading about it there in the portion of scriptures, sometimes Pharaoh hardens his heart, other times Yahweh hardens Pharaoh's heart. In some instances, we're just given a state. Pharaoh's heart was hardened. Okay? But if you look into the grammar, what Pharaoh and Yahweh are doing to Pharaoh's heart is different. What I mean is, when it is Yahweh, different word is usually used, and when it is Pharaoh, specific word is usually used. So we're gonna go into that a little bit. I hope you're following me. So what you observe typically is Yahweh is usually making Pharaoh's heart strong or resolute, whereas Yahweh, so Pharaoh is usually making his heart heavy. Heavy. What do I mean? So I mean, you find Hazak is hard heaven. So when you think about the concept of heaviness in the English, it implies maybe discouraged or so and so. But the idiom in the Hebrew or in the Egyptian context does not mean the same. And I'm going to give you a little illustration at the end of this in the Egyptian concept. And maybe also share something with you for your eyes. So let's just go on a little bit. So heavy heart is not meaning when you're sad or discouraged, which is the English way. When you're sad or discouraged, you say somebody's heart is heavy. That's the implication. Okay. So having a strong heart, when you're dealing with Pharaoh's heart being strong or resolute as that, we mean that Pharaoh, when is determined on something, is firm. We're dealing with a firm heart which will not move. It will stick whatever it has chosen. So the question is, again, who is doing the hardening? Who is doing the hardening? We have said again, don't forget, usually Yahweh is making Pharaoh's heart strong, whereas Pharaoh is usually making his heart heavy. So what does a heavy heart mean in Egyptian thinking? Now here, please just pay attention a little bit. It's going to be a bit different from what you've thought, what you've perceived. So just level with me. I debated whether to tell you this one. But here goes. So you have traditionally 10 plagues, but like I've told you, the scripture introduces them as signs and wonders. I'll do the signs and wonders. So on the 10th one, it's called a plague. No, on the 8th one, next to this 10, we'll look at it. But they are signs and wonders, okay? Which God will do. Now, many times, what scholars have done, they have looked at these signs and wonders, and they have split them into sets of three and all these different patterns which they have come up with to help understand them a little bit better, to give some kind of understanding. For instance, the first, the fourth, and the seventh, you have the timing as in the morning, whereas the others have no timing. You have the third, the sixth, and the ninth, there's no prior warning, whereas the others have, and so on and so forth. You have these different patterns that can be drawn to create some kind of narrative to better understand what these plagues are all about, and scholars do all that kind of work. Now, so usually, how can I talk about this? When you usually study the scriptures, specifically in the Pentateuch, actually throughout the scriptures, there are these particular narrative patterns that you can see within scriptures that the writers put there deliberately to help communicate particular things. And some of that language is what we call things like chiasms and so on and so forth, which may not translate very well to this kind of platform, unless I was showing very deliberately. So I'm going to choose to just leave it alone. At a future date, when you have the right tools, perhaps I'll be able to show you, because it's easier and more beautiful to appreciate if you're looking at it, is if you're looking at it with your eyes to see exactly what is happening. So there's a wonderful woman scholar by the name of Dr. Carmen Ives. And she has studied Exodus, is her particular area of study, but that's why she did her dissertation. So recently in her scholarship, she came up with this pattern as she was studying, and she said, what if we look at them as 12 signs and wonders as opposed to 10? And she said that if you put the first one swallowed up that Egyptians. Okay, so those are some of the patterning that they look at in the literary design to help understand and look at and give a proper picture, which helps to understand this very well. Okay, so let me just find something and I read for you among the things you say. Yeah. So you have Moses' staff swallows the Egyptian staff, and then the other side of Exodus 15:12, the sea swallows the Egyptians. So it's saying those two on the opposite side present the opening of the signs and wonders and the closing of the signs and wonders. So you have the traditional 10 in between, then you have the one sign, which is before any of the other common ones happened, which was about the serpent swallowing the Egyptian serpent, and then the other side you have the pattern in which the wording is matching the sea swallowing the Egyptians. So as she says, for her, that it shows that she would say there are 12 signs and wonders. And I think that's actually something to think about. So for all of you who are Bible nerds and you like that kind of thing, that's something you can think about. For the rest of us, we just want to know who had it in his heart. Let's go forward. So, what you will notice, so I just said that because I want to bring up this. Now, remember, what did we say? Usually, God makes Pharaoh's heart strong. Pharaoh usually makes his heart heavy. But in all those scenarios, the word is used is hardening in English. Now, you can notice generally in the traditional view that the first five signs and wonders, Pharaoh is not doing the action. The first five. If you consider what I've told you that there are 12, it would be the first six. Okay? But for what is comfortable with many of us, let's take the traditional view of 10 signs and wonders. So the first five signs and wonders, Pharaoh is doing the hardening, and then the last five, Yahweh is doing the hardening. Okay? Now, there is one exception to the rule, and that is on the eighth. On the eighth signs and wonder, eighth sign and wonder, which is Exodus chapter 10, verse 1. It would be on the other side. Okay, for some of us who may not know what those signs and wonders are. So the last, if you begin the last of the first set, which would be the fifth, would be the one of the cattle. So that's where the word plague is used, because it was actually a cattle disease. A cattle disease, that's a cattle disease. Then when you go into the next bunch, it is usually God hardening Pharaoh's heart. So that is Yahweh making Pharaoh's heart strong. You have the sign of the boils in that darkness, which makes Yahweh's heart strong. The locusts, the death of the firstborn, right? So in those signs, Yahweh is not acting and making Pharaoh's heart strong rather than heavy. I really hope you're following me. Let me say it again, in case it has gone over something. Heart does not mean like in the sense of English, a heavy heart involving someone inside. That's not what the Egyptian idiom means. Okay? Here, the heavy heart is dealing with a particular stubbornness, which I'm going to explain more. But the strong heart, the word for strong, deals with reasoning, sustain, okay, continue. So, we're saying if you split those signs and wonders into 10, find that the first signs, Pharaoh is making his heart heavy, and then the last sign, the last sets of those signs, God is making Pharaoh's heart strong. Did you get the difference? Pharaoh has made his heart heavy. The last signs and wonders, God is making Pharaoh's heart strong. So if you are having a different Hebrew word used for the latter part of the signs and wonders. Now I say there's one exception to that. That is Exodus chapter 10 verse 1. Exodus chapter 10 verse 1. The Lord said to Moses, go into Pharaoh, for I have made his heart heavy. I've hardened his heart and the heart of his servants, that I may show these signs of mine among them. So you see, they continue calling them signs and plagues. So this is the exception. So here, it could be that God is making his heart heavy because Pharaoh has really made his heart hard for a while. Okay? So it's an exception. Now, again, let me just tell you this. So many times of these things, you're looking at them and trying to understand what is happening clearly, what the writer is trying to communicate with this wording, better understand what he was saying so we know what is taking place. Okay? Pharaoh, there's one thing you should know from what we have said. Pharaoh is the one making his heart heavy. Yahweh is making his heart strong. But somebody saying, what is the difference? What is the difference? And that's the last part I want to look at before we close. When we talk about a heavy heart, Pharaoh made his heart heavy. There are two possibilities of thinking about it. People usually, not people. Some scholars have thought about two possibilities. You must understand that in the Egyptian and the Hebrew point of view, in the Egyptian and the Hebrew world, the heart is the thinker, the heart is the feeler. The ancient Hebrew and the ancient Egyptian had no concept of the brain. They didn't think the brain thinks, they didn't think the brain feels. But if you study into Egyptian history, when they are mummifying, not mummifying, when they're turning corpses into trying to preserve them, they oftentimes would take out the brain and throw it away, because to them the brain didn't represent anything. They didn't know that the brain does. But they would preserve their heart as the center of feeling, as the center of emotion, as the center part of a person. So the heart was where thinking happened, where feeling happened, where deciding happens. Okay? So with this theory, then you would think of a heavy heart as kind of a non-functioning heart. And why is that? If you have looked in Isaiah chapter 6, there's this concept which even Paul uses when he's preaching the gospel. Let's just go to Isaiah chapter 6. I heard the voice of the Lord, verse 8, saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then I said, here I am sent. And he said, go and say to these people, keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the heart of these people dull and their ears heavy, covered. Make the cartridge border and the ears heavy. So, in other words, it is talking about the ears being heavy here. It's as though the ears being non-functional. They could not hear. Okay, they could not understand. So some people say Pharaoh's heart being heavy, even Pharaoh could not understand. But if you are looking at the scenario, the exact scenario what was happening there in Egypt, there is no indication that Pharaoh is not thinking freely, is not understanding everything that is happening, or that he has zero emotion, or that he's not thoughtful to whatever is happening. Pharaoh is not disengaged at all. Pharaoh knows exactly what is happening, and he has said and is adamant, I will not do it. So that's the first theory of what a heavy heart is. Why am I here again? The reason I'm here again is because the predominant Hebrew word for when Pharaoh is the actor in the hardening of the heart is a word which means to make the heart heavy, and when God is a predominant actor is strong. So what is heavy? Now, the second possibility of a heavy heart is this. Now, there's something in ancient Egyptian and around the time of Hebrew, in their context, there's what is called the Egyptian Book of the Dead. Okay, the Egyptian Book of the Dead. Now, the Egyptian Book of the Dead has many different, there are different versions of the book, even right now available. So the idea is that after dead person, when a person dies or after death, according to the Book of Death, the Egyptian Book of Death, they are led through the underworld by gods. Okay? And they are tested to see whether their life had merit. In the Egyptian Book of the Dead is a pair of scales to weigh a person's heart. I have an image I shared with Sister Daphne. She can put it on and display to show the people. But it's free online, you can see it, but she can put it up. Okay? So, a dead person would go down and they would wear their merit. Okay? So, they bring a person's heart and they put it on the pair of scales. Okay? Put it on a pair of scales. On one side of the scales, they would put a feather. And on the other side of the scales, they would put a person's heart. Okay? Now, if the person's heart outweighed the scales, okay? That's right there, if you can try to maximize those scales. So you go to the underworld, okay? And your heart is examined. Yeah, I think right there's the scales. Okay? So the dead person's heart is removed, placed on one end of the scales. On the other end of the scales, the feather is placed there. Now, the feather represents what in Egypt is called Ma'at. Ma'at. Okay? Ma'at is the Egyptian concept of order, harmony, truth, morality, justice. Balance. Okay, the implication is all described and balanced in the world as it should be. So, your heart, or the heart of the ancient Egyptians, is placed there. Now, it is the job of every Egyptian, especially Pharaoh, to maintain Ma'at. Pharaoh was actually supposed to maintain Ma'at. So if your heart is put on the scales against Ma'at and found to be heavy, it means the guilty of this of disrupting Ma'at or disrupting order, okay? And committing injustice and disrupting society. Okay? If it's lighter than the feather, then that represents Ma'at, or you are good to go. anybody has seen even some fiction films, you might have seen a concept like that. So think about it like this, that if you go back to Pharaoh and in that Egyptian concept, and you're thinking the writer of Exodus is writing with that concept at the back of his mind. So if Pharaoh made his own heart heavy, from an Egyptian point of view, the implication is Pharaoh is doing it with justice, right? But it was also not maintaining art for his. Okay? He's disrupting it. Now, one of the ways he's disrupting it is like this. So there's a telegraphing of this in different ways, right? On one hand, the signs and wonders, one of their implications was they destabilized Ma'at. They destabilized order. So, in Egyptian thinking, Yahweh, sorry, Pharaoh maintains that Ma'at is not as, is not the one who is holding Ma'at. On this other hand, according to the Book of the Dead in Egypt, Pharaoh's heart is heavy. He's guilty of injustice. He's guilty of oppressing people and destabilizing Ma'at. It has just been, that in itself communicates that Pharaoh is guilty. Okay? So what can I say in conclusion? I know some people maybe have some questions to ask. Let me conclude like this and I open the floor. What is happening there is not God forcing Pharaoh to do something he did not freely choose. When we say God made Pharaoh's heart strong, the implication is Pharaoh made his heart heavy and God just to make it strong, it means that he was encouraging him on. Okay, you have decided to be strong. Stay resolute with this. Okay? That's why you first see that it is Pharaoh's first action to make his heart heavy. Then Yahweh makes it strong. Okay, you say you want to stick like this? Fine. Let's go ahead with this. I'll show you that I am Yahweh. I'm Lord, and I am God of gods. And this is why, like I said, you'll find that the first signs and wonders were not dangerous to human life. They were only an annoyance. But the more Pharaoh made his heart heavy, then the signs and wonders escalated. God is showing himself superior to Yahweh, to God, Yahweh is showing himself superior to Pharaoh, who is a god, small god in his own right. And God is trying to show you, I am Yahweh. I am God of gods. No wonder in the next song in Exodus 15, after the crossing and everything that happened, which I showed you, Exodus 15, 11, who is a god like you among the gods? Thank you. Let me just stop it there.
Thank you, Apostle, for what you said. And I don't have any questions, but I'm glad I was able to listen into to all the teaching. Thank you.
But this is your thing. I find covering some gaps. Where plagues are reflection out of Egypt? That's a good question. That's coming in from Doreen. It's one of the most said thing about the plagues, but not quite. You could argue, but some of the connections are quite weak. It does not work for all. Eh? It's better to see the plagues, what you're calling the plagues, as implying different point of views. So I'll tell you some. Now, you can look at plates as an creation. For instance, all the different plates, it's something called a decreation. Okay? So decreation is basically you're coming from order to disorder. So remember the Egyptian concept of Ma'at. So Pharaoh is supposed to be the one who is supposed to be the one who maintains order. Okay? Maintains order. But Yahweh comes in and destabilizes that order. In a way, as a kind of showing that, no, you're not in charge. You're not the one who keeps order. I keep order. So when you begin the Bible, God is creating order from chaos. Okay, shows his down. When there was a rebellion and judgment, there is a decreation. You can think about the flood and so on and so forth. That's a decreation event. So you have chaos, you have a loss of dominion over creatures, seeing frogs, fleas, okay? Pharaoh does not have dominion over those. Then the boundaries erased, frogs jumping onto the land, okay? Things are no longer good. So that's one of the things that can be telegraphed there. Yeah. So you may not necessarily argue that it's against the different groups of it, but that's the predominant fault here. Thank you for that question. Anybody else?
Thank you, sir. Just to confirm if I have understood you. So, in a sense, God did not harden Pharaoh's heart, as the word harden may be interpreted in, as we understand, hardness. But Pharaoh's heart was already heavy. It was already hardened. I want to maintain that word. Pharaoh's heart was already hardened or heavy, like you've explained. So it was God letting him have his way. In a sense, it was God letting Pharaoh to continue in the heart which was already hardened towards him. I want to first confirm that I've understood before I ask the question that I want to ask.
Well, if you're oversimplifying it like that, yeah, the issue may be, I would rather maybe, if you're going to keep it simplistic like that, I'd rather use Pharaoh made his heart heavy and God just made him strong towards that decision, egging him on to continue along those lines.
Yes.
Yeah.
So my question is, if God let him continue, was there a way God would have softened instead of strengthening what Pharaoh was already showcasing, the heaviness of the heart? Couldn't God just have softened his heart so that he could just let the people go? Why was it the other option of, okay, you mentioned about him showcasing, it was an opportunity for God to show that, to demonstrate his identity as Yahweh and to show these signs and wonders. What I was asking, was it, did it have to be that way, that he had to strengthen or continue in Pharaoh's hardness of the heart?
Couldn't God have
softened his heart instead?
Okay. Let me ask you. How could God soften Pharaoh's heart better than he did? Remember, you must know. What if you looked at every sign as God's mercy? in the sense that Pharaoh, let my people go. Please, we don't have to do this. He refused this sign, another sign. What if that's actually God's long suffering to Pharaoh? I think we must be careful about this idea that God changes people. Because God forces people to do things. God has put for everyone the same way. We refuse to obey. God's long suffering is to try another person, another avenue. But still, God's way is persuasive, not forceful. I know sometimes we have that idea that God changes people's hearts. And somebody may already have a scripture in his head. It's okay if I bring it up and you look at it. But Exodus does not give us any sign that Pharaoh longed to submit to Yahweh as his sovereign and was prevented from doing so. He received numerous rebukes, explanations, commands. All those were so that Pharaoh would submit, and Pharaoh still didn't submit. You see, even at the death of his son, you would think he would see that this is Yahweh submit, but he still didn't submit. So he maintained strong heart. Sometimes it's hard for us to fathom, but people actually reject God. People do reject God. And maybe that's one of the applications we can have today, that people can reject God, but we can see that God's mercy, God's love, long suffering in trying and trying, because 12 of them is an opportunity for you to repent. Somebody will pick that. Rahab is hearing about these stories miles and miles away. And what she had, she repented. So Pharaoh saw it point blank and still refused. Repent. And you also must understand that Pharaoh was an image of another god of Egypt. So Pharaoh was on the other side of the spectrum.